if there's a consensus here amongst our YouTube chatters and text line commenters, it looks like most Kings fans want De'Aaron Fox to take his time and make sure he's 100% before he comes back. Manny Too Legit says Fox should rest for like 2 weeks minimum, maybe even 2.5 to 3 to be safe. Caesar 916, Fox needs to take more time. Plus, I want to see what the team is really made of. It's an interesting conundrum.
You know, they're not in a dire situation right now, Whitey. You know, like I said, if this was April, you're battling for a play-in spot or something like that, rush back. But they're not dire. Like, there's a reason why this team is as deep as it is. It should be able to withstand in the short term the loss of one of your star players. And so this is an opportunity for other guys to step up, most notably Davion, our guy Colby Jones. And so, no, I'm cool with De'Aaron missing these next couple of games in Houston.
I understand what you're saying, but I don't have a hard time imagining that come April, the Kings will be battling for either a slot, trying to get higher, or maybe trying to avoid the play-in. My point is that it could come down, home court, even getting in, staying out of the play-in could come down to one game. And the games now count just as much as the ones in April.
All right, so you want to go balls to the wall right now then?
I'm just
you want to go all in right now?
I don't think you can assume that, it's not a dire situation. Assuming that the games, that's okay, you got time to make up for any shortcomings now. Because in the West this year, and I'm sure this is part of the thing, I'm not saying rushing back, but I'm saying every game is going to be really important this year. It's great from a fan standpoint, but it poses some interesting dilemmas when you're looking at a situation like this.
So let me ask you this then, because you know I like to play devil's advocate. I like to push back on pretty much everything you say, Whitey. Just so you know, I'll just call it in like I see it. Wouldn't you rather De'Aaron be 100%? And
yes,
close to it. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Now, if he's healthy and he's ready to go and can't re-aggravate it or anything, okay, fine, play it. You know, get out there and play. But the way it looked Sunday, having to be helped off the court like that, you know, back to the locker room like that, this would be less than a week if he played on Saturday. And so I'm saying take it slow, take it easy right now. The team should be good enough to stem the tide. Injuries are going to happen. Player games are going to be missed. I know Sacramento did a heck of a job last season with the fewest player games missed, but it's going to happen. It's on the other guys, not on De'Aaron Fox to want to come back. It's on the other guys to be like, no, De'Aaron, we got your back. Take your time. We can still win.
Let's say in a few days, De'Aaron Fox says, Coach, I'm good. I'm not feeling pain. I want to play. And let's say that you're Mike Brown and you see him and you can tell he's not quite moving. No matter what he says, I know he's not quite moving. He's helping us. He's playing well, but he's not moving as freely as he was.
I'm not playing. I'm not playing. I go to my medical, the eye test too. You see he's not moving. You talk to the medical staff and whatever they say. And I would not play De'Aaron Fox. Sometimes you got to protect the players
from
themselves.
That's what I'm asking you.
Yeah, sometimes you do. Like, you know, we look at what's happening in Phoenix. We know if it was Game 7, Devin Booker would be playing. And if this was the playoffs, Devin Booker would probably be playing. Same thing with De'Aaron Fox. If the playoffs started this weekend, maybe he's playing. But they don't. You have time. You have luxury. And losing games early, hear me out, Whitey. I would rather lose games early and know what you need to do the rest of the way then lose games late. So later games are, to me, much more important because if you go on a 2 or 3 game losing streak in the first 3 weeks of the season, you already know, we got to ratchet it up.
Sure.
We got to play better over these last 65, 70 games or whatever it is.
But obviously, as you win the early games, and then you're not looking at that situation down the road. But I get what you're saying. By the way, and this is neither here nor there as far as what we're talking about now, so I'm not disagreeing with you here, but I read some stories today, maybe you saw them too, that in Phoenix, they're starting to get a little concerned about Bradley Beal's back. That they didn't know.
Really?
Yeah.
Like some damaged goods or something?
They're not sure
when
he's coming back.
Wow.
And I'm not saying that they're thinking he can't play all year, but there are some rumblings out of Phoenix that they thought he'd be further along by now. So that's something to keep an eye on. He hasn't played at all yet.
He has not played
at
all.
He's not supposed to play tonight.
And he's not going to play tonight. And that's interesting. That's, you know, you make this big trade, you bring him in, he's your guy, and you lift the hood up a little bit, you look at that engine and realize, you know what? Uh-oh, he's not. Oh, man, that would be a huge loss. He's out tonight. Devin Booker, they say, is questionable for tonight's game against the Spurs.
Spurs again?
Yeah, they got the Spurs, so keep an eye on that.
As far as last night goes, and I know we've been over this and over this, we went over this yesterday, no moral victories. I understand that, but I think there were some encouraging signs. We talked about some of them, and you had Davion at the top of your list, right?
Yes.
As your most encouraging sign. I thought Davion, very encouraging. Colby Jones was incredibly encouraging last night.
He was, and, you know, to do it in that situation, to do it in that environment against that team, your rival, and kudos to Mike Brown because he gave him extended minutes. It wasn't like 2 or 3 minutes here or there, all right, Colby, come on out. He gave him time to actually feel a part of the game. And when you have a rookie like that, he's thrown in the fire. A lot of times you will see rookies try to do too much, move too fast. The game didn't look like it was moving fast at all.
Unflappable
Colby Jones. That's what he was yesterday. And kudos to him, man. I thought he competed hard. And so, like you said, no moral victories. We're not going to talk. But encouraging signs, some bright spots from last night.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. If you want to give us a call, you want to shoot us a text, let's talk to Dave here, Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. Dave, how are you today?
Doing well. How about you, gentlemen?
We're just wondering how we can help you, Dave. That's what we're
all
about.
What you got?
Yeah.
Well, Sabonis shoots 75% from the free throw line last night. We win.
Okay.
He was shooting like 62%. If we can shoot 75% from the free throw line as a team, we will win these real close games because that's a
We shot 78 last night, though.
As a team,
As a team, 78. In fact, Domas, the only one that missed any. He's really the only one that got to the line more than a couple of times here or there. But, no, I agree with you. You got to knock those down.
You do. And I'm telling you, we lost by the last point. Clay sticking that last shot. I was impressed with the way we played defense. We kept Golden State to 102 points. I think we kept Steph under 30. I like the way that the number 13, I can't remember the guy, his name slips me, Keegan Murray.
Yeah,
I like the way he took care of Steph. He was big enough to really block some of those, to hinder those shots, but fast enough to keep him out of the lane, so to speak. I was, even though we lost and there's no moral victory, if I'm the head coach of that team, I'm not upset. Let's go to Houston and let's win 2 in a row and go from there.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah, and if Dave's a head coach, they're shooting a lot extra.
Right.
Alan made this point during our crossover. Keegan Murray last night, looked like he did a really good job. Steph Curry struggled with the length that Keegan Murray faced him with. But Keegan he missed all his three-pointers last night. 0 for 7, he was 4 for 15. And they need more from him. I understand it's exhausting to chase Steph Curry all over the place.
Right.
But the way this team is built, without De'Aaron Fox, they need more from Keegan Murray.
Yeah, and we talked yesterday. I said I wanted 28 from him. He only had, 10 points yesterday, 4 of 15 shooting, missed all 7 of his threes.
And I think he shot 2 air balls, didn't he?
Yeah, a couple of. And I don't know if he was rushing them. I don't know if he was fatigued or what. He played 40 minutes, close to 40 minutes. That's a lot of minutes. And that's what makes the great players great, though, right? Because they could do it on both ends, high minute count. And I think this was a learning thing for Keegan Murray. It's something he can grow and learn from. Because if you're going to be charged with guarding the best player and you're a great offensive player, you still got to deliver on that side. And that's why it's so hard to be a two-way player in this league because – you know, I was
exhausted.
You're exhausted. And, you know, Ron Adams, I keep going back to my guy, Ron Adams, assistant coach with the Warriors. And he said, NBA teams, what you want to do is have as many two-way players as you can. The more two-way players you have, the better defensively you can be. And right now, we don't have a whole lot of two-way players, guys who can do it at a high level on both ends. De'Aaron Fox, he's one of them. I'd like to see Keegan Murray get there, too.
Davion maybe can become one of those guys. He's not there yet.
Yeah. You know, to me, there's no reason why Davion can't average 10 points a game on this team. You know, he's getting the opportunities. He just has to stop being shy. He has to put the ball up. And I thought he did a great job of that last night. But still, 1, 2, 3, He tied for the fourth most shots on the team. Okay, I'm okay. But I'd like to see him last night in that 12 to 15 range getting those shots up.
You know, how good of a defender Fox can be is one of the absolute keys to how good this team can become.
Right. And when you think about it, and Mike Brown is challenging him all the time, they need him to be an elite two-way player because you're counting on Davion Mitchell, but he's a reserve player. They need somebody in that starting lineup to be able to guard the perimeter's best player. And De'Aaron Fox can be that. JaVale McGee talked about how he didn't know De'Aaron was such a great defender. I mean, his speed, quickness, his hands, like, he can be that dude. Like, there's no reason why De'Aaron Fox shouldn't average better than two steals per game. Like, he should be among the league leaders in steals night in and night out.
Let me go back to the phones real quick here, Jay. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Mitch has been hanging on. Hey, Mitch, you're on with the Drive Guys. How are you?
Good, guys. How we doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's up?
What's up, Mitch?
We play a real good game. I know it's these two teams are in the top five. I like our depth. Play good. I just wish Barnes would show up more often like he did in game one. And I think the season's looking good.
Thank you, Mitch.
I'm happy with Mitchell.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks,
yeah.
Mitch.
Interesting point about Harrison Barnes. Yeah, he had eight shots last night, 14 points. And it's interesting, as Mitch points out, because, you know, game one in Utah, which is another game you did. I mean, Harrison Barnes, it was the Harrison Barnes party.
Yes. And he had some big shots. He had some big threes, I thought, in that game. But the fact that he only had one rebound, it was one offensive rebound, led to a bucket. I know they scored on that play, and only one assist. And so I don't want to, you know, look at the box score and dictate whether a guy had a good game or not, you know. But on a night when De'Aaron Fox is out, I said everybody got to raise up just a little bit. And it might not be scoring, Whitey. It could be rebounds. It could be defense. And so, you know, I wanted Harrison Barnes to do a little bit more last night. Fine stat line, 14 points on 4 of 8 shooting.
Right,
but
very efficient.
He could get that when De'Aaron Fox is playing, though. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like I needed more from him last night.
He's another guy, not to make excuses, but at the defensive end, he was very busy last night.
Yes, and, you know, the Warriors put so much pressure on you. Their offense is so crisp, so clean. You know, when you look at it, they only scored 102 points. But they had 32 assists on 39 made field goals. Like, they moved the ball, and there was this one possession, and I was on the call for it, and I said, oh, this is great Kings defense. Kings played great defense for about 22, 23 seconds, and then all of a sudden Draymond gets free underneath. And so give the Warriors credit, man. They put so much pressure on your defense.
We're taking a quick timeout and coming right back with unpleasant truths about the Kings' tough loss. Drive Guys sacked out. Eric S. on the chat says, I remember that call, Kyle. Yeah,
you remember that one, right? I felt like I jinxed him. You know, I'm like, oh, this is excellent defense. Mike Brown got to be... And then Draymond scored, and I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I know that some people have looked at Kevin Huerter's box score and his line in the box score and said, yeah, 9 rebounds, but what does that do for me? But, and he needs to shoot the ball better. But, as you know, almost every successful defensive possession ends with a rebound.
Yes.
And 9 rebounds against the Warriors is significant, especially because he had 2 at the offensive end, too. So he is finding other ways to contribute while we still wait for his shot to show up.
Right.
But I'm done waiting. Let's go.
Come on, Whitey. What do you want the guy to do? Knock down shots, huh? Right? But I thought Kevin Huerter, when you watch this, and Kings fans out there, ignore the box score. The box score will say 9 rebounds. But to me, 9 rebounds is indicative of a very active, engaged, in the mix Kevin Huerter.
I agree.
I want him to fall too. 4 of 11 last night for Kevin Huerter. I want him to start knocking them down. But what I saw last night and in the game against the Lakers is a lot different than what we saw in the preseason when he was struggling. Like, in the preseason, he looked lost out there at times defensively. These last couple of games, he's engaged, he's competing, the effort is there. And as a coach, that's all you can ask for. You live and die with guys making or missing shots. but you at least got to play hard. And Kevin Huerter is battling out there right now.
You're right, but I said I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about unpleasant truths about the Kings right now.
Let's get real.
Not a lot. But yeah, let's not pretend that, oh, they lost, but that's okay. Everything's great. And here's one. Kevin Huerter played better against the Lakers, and there was kind of a narrative that it was his coming out party and he broke out of his slump. Well, he didn't. He had a better game, right? I mean, I'm not criticizing him. I'm not coming after him. He was an excellent player last year.
No, I don't know.
It's not his fault. I'm just saying we can't pretend that against the Lakers, it's like, oh, okay, he's fine now. He was better, but it's still an issue. He still needs to start making shots.
No, you're 100% right. And, you know, we were hoping that the Lakers game would cure him. And he had a chance to prove whether he was cured and, you know, shooting better last night against Golden State. But he didn't do it. And so the struggles are still there. 1 of 5 from 3-point range.
I don't question his effort. It's just they need him to make shots.
Yes. Kevin Huerter, you know, as great as De'Aaron and Domas was last season, Kevin Huerter was tremendous last season as well. And so for this Kings team to reach its potential, oh, yeah, he has to make shots. He has to be a threat out there. And they need 10 to 15 points every single night. I need 3 or 4 threes every single night from Kevin Huerter.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm seeing some comments on the chat about Sabonis this, Sabonis that. I don't have any issues with Domas Sabonis. We know what he is defensively.
Yeah.
He struggles, but, I mean, last night he tried to do more offensively. I'm sure if you asked him, he would tell you there's a couple shots that he probably should have made that he didn't make, but he did his job last night.
He did his job, and here's the thing, Whitey. When you look at Domantas Sabonis, you'll see the 23, the 11, and 8, the 16 shot attempts. But what about the 12 free throw attempts as well? Mm-hmm. That shows me he's active, engaged, and he's into it.
Yeah, we have a Domas quote here from last night, if we can get to that, Jay. Just Domas last night talking about how the Warriors made him do things that they don't normally do. Domas Sabonis last night after the Kings loss.
Like I said last time we played against them, they really make us work on things we haven't worked on and try and make us better as a team. And today I felt like we played good. We played good defense throughout the whole game. And, we just came up short.
Yeah, they pushed the Kings out of their comfort level a little bit. And that happens both ways because, as we know, hardly a newsflash, these teams know each other so well.
Right. They know. I mean, shoot, they've played each other. I had the stat yesterday, 13 out of the last 22
Steve
or Kerr something crazy. Yeah,
he said, I don't think that's ever been done before.
Yeah, exactly. And so, no, the Warriors understand, but I didn't like what Domas just said right there because they pushed us out of our comfort zone. Don't let them push you out of, like, you got to dictate things. And are we going to keep saying, we said that in game 7. We said that last Friday as well. When is the time going to come where we are?
Kings are dictating.
Right,
things.
Exactly. Come on, man. That's why I'm so frustrated about last night. It wasn't, you know, Klay Thompson hitting the bucket or anything like that. He just said they pushed us out of our comfort zone. You would think after seeing this team a billion times, you wouldn't let that happen.
Here's another, to me, unpleasant truth. Malik Monk was very good last night, did a lot of things the Kings needed him to do, but Malik Monk as a point guard, especially now he's got to play more point guard with De'Aaron Fox out, his lack of experience, to me, shows. He had a crucial turnover with about 10 minutes to go where he didn't know how much time was left on the shot clock. De'Aaron Fox out means Malik Monk, point guard, really has to be probably a little better than he is right now, frankly. He's not a great point guard, and that's just going to be the way it is for a while.
You're nitpicking right now. When you say he's not going to be a great point guard,
right.
That's not who he is.
Right.
He's not going to be De'Aaron Fox.
He had 3 turnovers last night. That's nitpicky, I know, but there's times when
Steph Curry had 7 turnovers last night. Don't look at the box score, Whitey. Come on.
I watched the game, and I'm just, the numbers tell you what you saw. Malik Monk over-dribbled a little bit. They have a hard time. He has a hard time getting him into their offense.
I'm not going to take one game and make an indictment on whether Malik Monk needs to be a better point guard or not. I could say the same thing. Steph Curry needs to be a better point guard. Those 7 turnovers last night. We've seen Malik play extremely well at a high level.
Yes.
A few nights ago against the Lakers. And let's not forget, You're not talking about your starting point guard. He's not
benched. I know that.
He only played 25 minutes last night. Davion played 30 last night.
I'm not going after him saying he needs to do this better, but I'm saying this is the reality of where the Kings are right now. They're relying on a guy who is not nearly their best point guard to get them into their offense, and it's part of the problem they're in right now, the uncomfortable situation with De'Aaron Fox out.
I would love to know how many minutes he spent on the floor with Davion. How many minutes were they actually point guard minutes, if you will? And so, you know, that's why I disagree with you, because I don't know if he was in charge of the offense. He only played 25 minutes. Now, if he played 30, 35 minutes, Davion played 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not also forget that this Kings offense is being run through Domantas Sabonis.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Malik really isn't. Even if he is starting at that position, Davion, if he is starting, isn't really a true point guard in the sense of the word.
I just think they need him to have a little cleaner handle. And it's tough for him because, like I say, he hasn't played a lot of point guard. All right, we disagree on that one.
Yeah, I just think last night was its own thing. I've seen him play at a high level in that role before. And so I'm not going to, you know, nitpick over last night.
Here, I think he did it last night, and he did it, was it against the Warriors or against the Lakers at home? Where he jumps into the air and throws a pass and then does the thing where he comes down and he doesn't want to touch the ball. Right? I mean, you've seen
right,
that.
To me,
it's a reflection of he hasn't played a ton of point guard. I'm sure he'll get better as he plays more of it. You thought, if I'm not mistaken, not to put words in your mouth, that we're maybe giving the Kings more credit for their defensive effort than we should be for last night.
Yeah, I thought the defensive effort was there. But let's not forget, I stated the stats. The Warriors shot 54% from the field in the first, second, and fourth quarters combined. So as great a defense that you played, the Warriors still made shots. Now, what the Kings were able to do is force turnovers. They did a great job at that. And I also thought, when you play at the pace the Warriors play, and you have so much movement, turnovers inherently come within it.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Here's a quick question here. This is a test I want.
All right.
Did the Kings play better last night against the Warriors or Friday against the Warriors?
Are we talking overall defensively, or just defensively?
Defensively.
I would say they played better last night defensively.
Friday, the Warriors had 19 turnovers. Last night, the Warriors had 18. Last night, like I said, the Warriors shot 6 of 20 from the third in the third period, but 55% in the fourth, 54% in the other three quarters outside of the third. And so the eye test says they played better defense, but the numbers actually don't suggest that.
Depends which numbers you're looking at. The Warriors shooting numbers Friday were through the roof.
They were through the roof last night. They shot 48% for the game. Take out that third quarter when they were 6 of 20, they shot 54%.
Okay, but it's just a fact. The numbers they put up last night aren't close to what they put up Friday night, the Warriors.
And I can argue the pace was different in that game. Look at the shot attempts, too. So last night, the Kings shot, Warriors shot 87 shots the other night against Friday night.
And at 81 last night.
And they shot 81 last night. They shot 48% for the game.
Right.
But take out the third quarter when they were 6 of 20. They shot 54%. And so what I'm saying is the defense was better, yes, but it was not consistent.
Right.
It was, you know, there was a lot left to be desired defensively for the Kings. They looked active, they got after it, but the Warriors still made shots.
Mm-hmm.
They still shot 48%. If a team shoots 48% against you, I'm not happy with that,
no,
Brady. That's not good enough for
me. No, but Friday night they were 50-something. So
they were 50-something Friday night.
They made more than half their shots, and I think they made
They were 38.5%. In the first quarter, talking about Golden State.
Uh-huh.
Then they got going in the second and third quarters. And so what I'm saying is the defensive effort, sure, it looks good, but they need to be consistently better. It
right.
needs to be not a full 48, but it can't be 26 minutes. It can't be 30 minutes. I need 40 minutes of great. Like, I would like the Warriors – to shoot 53% in one quarter, and then the other quarters struggle. That's where we need to get to.
I agree with that, but I'd also say for this team to show any improvement defensively, it's like, yes, that's a good sign because it's so important for them to continue to get better there. More consistency would be better, but last night I thought, last two games, to me there were some good signs defensively.
They competed defensively, yeah. No doubt about it, no yeah. doubt.
We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, here is the key question. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. As a Kings fan, were you more encouraged? Yeah, that's okay. Or discouraged by last night's loss? It's next with the Drive Guys, Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason on Sacktown. So if you're a Kings fan, should you be more encouraged or discouraged by the result last night? That was a tough one. I think maybe it's useful to take your cues from the coach. We'll hear what Mike Brown had to say after the game in just a moment here. Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper.
Yes.
Kyle, you got to be just so nervous right now with your Eagles getting ready to play the Dallas Cowboys.
No,
are you, not, just, are you not sleeping, or how are you dealing with that stress?
I am A-okay. I forgot they were even playing the Cowboys. I'm looking ahead. Dallas, they're not ready to come. If this game was in Dallas, maybe I would lose a couple of minutes of sleep or something
Dallas
like that.
Cowboys.
Dallas actually, you know what, a game and a half back. You know, you win this week against Philly. Now you're only a half a game back. I just can't see my Eagles losing at home to Dallas. Dallas is, you know, they're borderline right now. They're, you know, it could go either way. You know, one week they could get smoked 42-10. Next
you
week
sounds
they could
a little play. Scared to me.
Do I really?
No.
Do I really? You know no. why you're all comfortable and confident and feeling good? Because, you know, for the first time in, what, 4 weeks, the Niners won't lose. You know, right?
They might. Right? They might find a way on their bye week. They're going to give up, you know, 160 yards rushing right? on their bye week right? or something. Yeah. I saw something interesting today that the Cowboys are just not the same when they're playing on natural grass as when they play on turf.
Really?
Yeah. And I forget who wrote that, but because you guys have natural grass in Philly, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And, you know, I could also argue with you that the Dallas Cowboys are not the same team when they play a good team, when they play another good team,
yeah, but
if you
Dak
will.
Has ownage
you know?
On the Eagles.
Nah, but this Eagles team is different. This is a new
eight
year.
Three,
like,
what are
8-3? I think you brought it up.
Yeah.
But look at their wins. Giants. Jets. Jets early on, too, when Zach Wilson was really struggling. Patriots.
Wait, you said the Cowboys beat the Jets?
Yeah.
And you're saying they shouldn't be proud of that? What did the Eagles do against
the
Jets?
No, the Jets were a better team in week five when Eagles played. It was a different week. The Jets were
different
just
week.
Reeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
I
were
know they
reeling.
Didn't play them in the same week.
Right. They were reeling from the Aaron Rodgers injury and everything like that. They beat the Chargers and they beat the Rams. Like, that's nothing to write home Ooh. About. That's exactly, exactly. And so,
what is your team? And I'm not coming after you.
No,
your
you can't
biggest
come
win
after
would it be the Miami game?
Oh, of course. That was a statement win, if you will. The way they mollywopped.
Yeah, they did. They shut them down.
They shut them down. To hold that offense. To hold. I'm talking about the Dolphins' offense to just 10 points. Because remember, the Dolphins had to pick six for a touchdown.
Right.
To hold that offense to 10 points. I think that was a great win for Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
hopefully we'll get some
win.
Good games this weekend. We have Thursday night football tonight, the Titans against the Steelers. So
yeah,
good luck with that one.
Kenny Pickett supposed to play, right? Is that
yeah? But it's all about Will Levis.
Yeah, I love Will Levis, my guy from the University of Kentucky, looking great. Four touchdowns last week.
He loves mayonnaise.
Really?
Yeah, has some kind of thing about mayonnaise.
I used to like mayonnaise as a kid. Now just the word mayonnaise just makes me like, eh.
Now, in Philly, is it Hellman's mayonnaise?
Hellman's,
but out here, it's Best Foods.
What is Best Foods?
It's the same thing.
That sounds generic to me.
I know. I don't know why that is. It's the same thing. I think they just have it has a different name back.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. It's the same stuff.
I don't understand. Best Foods sounds like generic, right? Like
it does.
You go,
it
like
does.
It's the knockoff brand of Hellman's,
right,
you know?
Right.
So that's interesting. I never knew that.
Yeah. So, yeah, Thursday night football
All
coming
right.
up 4:30. Last night, Warriors over the Kings 102-101. Here's Mike Brown after the game. He says the Kings, you know, they played the Warriors, 15 times in the last week, whatever it is. He says they did their best job so far guarding number 30.
You're not stopping Steph Curry, but the reality of it is this is the best job I think we've ever done on Steph. and he was probably off or tired, I don't know, but you got to give Keegan some credit for trying to step up and making Steph work for whatever he got, and you just keep it moving till the next day. But I'm proud of the effort that Keegan tried to give on that end of the floor, and the results from it. We'll just see if he can continue doing it.
Last one.
Yeah. So again, yes. What I'm trying to do here is gauge from the coach. If you're a Kings fan, is he discouraged or encouraged? And that definitely, as far as that goes, Coach Brown was definitely encouraged.
Yeah, he sounded encouraged there, right? The defensive effort against Steph Curry, Keegan Murray being asked the guard number 30. Like, think about this. You know, when you look at Keegan Murray, 6'8", long, big, but I don't know if he fits the prototypical shutdown defender, wing defender. And now they're asking him to guard Steph Curry. And so I think that's a bold move by Mike Brown, but one that will pay off as the season goes on, because you'll see the growth. I thought he did a tremendous job last night on Steph.
More thoughts from Coach Brown last night after the game on the Kings team defense.
We played a little bit more physical tonight. I think we're getting better in that area. Offensively, obviously, we didn't shoot the ball well. But when you don't shoot the ball well, if you defend, you'll at least give yourself a chance. And I thought our guys tried to do that, which in turn gave us a chance down the stretch.
It's interesting. He said they tried.
They tried to do that. He didn't say they did it.
Right.
They tried to do it.
Yeah.
And I think the effort was there. But, you know, when you look at last night's game, Whitey, look at the points in the paint. Where's 46? They beat you on the points in the paint. Warriors don't have no paint, So how many – and I know the Warriors offense puts a lot of pressure on you defensively, and there's going to be some breakdowns. But, you know, to me, that's what they have last week. I think they have 44 on Friday as well, points in the paint.
But it's like you pointed out, the Kings, points in the paint, they were 19 of 41.
Right.
In the paint.
In the paint. Below 50% in the paint. That's unheard of, right?
Yeah. And I know I mentioned this earlier. I happened to check the shot chart because I watched the games like, man, they missed a lot of shots at the rim. And from just below the foul line, but inside the bottom of the circle in that little area, so that's 10 to 15 feet, they were 0 for 7. They didn't make anything there.
And that should be money too, right? That should be, that little 10 to 12 foot range, that should be money for them. And, you know, and you said it yesterday, to beat the Warriors – and they nearly did that.
Mm-hmm.
You still got to make some shots. And the Kings didn't make shots last
year. So Mike Brown, it's interesting. He's so sparing with his praise on defense. But he did say that physically we're getting more physical. Mm-hmm. So I think overall there, to me, I think as much as that loss hurt him, I think he was encouraged by what he saw defensively.
Yeah, exactly.
And the progress they're making, at least it looks like
that. Yeah, and in a game when you have no De'Aaron Fox – and to do what you did to Steph Curry. Steph was, pretty non-existent other than he had that stretch into the third, beginning of the fourth, I think it was. He had 7 in the fourth. You know, he got cooking just a little bit, not a whole lot, just a little bit. Hit a big three. Mike Brown immediately called a timeout. But you're seeing the growth defensively. And, and somebody pointed it out in the YouTube chat. Kyle, the eye test tells us that they played harder last night. And that's 100% true. Like, the numbers may not always suggest, like I pointed out, 54% over three out of the four quarters. But the eye test showed me, Golden State had to earn whatever they got last night.
Mm-hmm. Compio says the Kings played well, but they must value free throws and rebounding the ball. They rebounded.
They did a hell of a job yesterday.
They battered the Warriors on the backboards. But and as we've said 100 times now, overall, the Kings shot a good percentage from the foul line last night, but those two Sabonis misses really hurt.
Yeah, and he was the only guy that missed any free throws. He was 7 of 12 last night, and the crowd got on him, obviously, last night. But, as a team, they shot 78%. But to your point, you said something earlier. It's not about whether you make them or not. It's when you, when you need to make them, you got to make them. And Sabonis needed to make two last night. He missed two, and I think that hurt him, obviously. But these are little things that, you didn't make them tonight. Next time, you'll make them. And so I'm encouraged by what I saw. I'm not giving them any moral victories or anything like that. But there was, I think, more positive, more good that came out of last night's game than bad.
We got one more here. This is Malik Monk after the game pointing out that the fact of the matter is right now anyway, maybe it changes next time they play, but right now the Warriors just have the Kings' number.
We relax, they hit us in the mouth. So they got our numbers right now.
Yeah, they certainly, wow. They certainly do.
Wow, that was to the point. They got our number right now.
We relaxed? What do you think of that? We relax, they hit us in the mouth.
That's what I'm talking about, Whitey. You can't relax. Not against the Golden State Warriors. You can relax against Detroit, Charlotte, somebody like that. But not on the road against Golden State because they're relentless. They keep coming at you. And the fact that they can score in bunches, they can go on runs in bunches like that, you can't. That's what's so frustrating about last night. Things Sabonis said earlier, you know, they forced us, you know, out of our comfort zone. What Malik said just now, it's like, no, guys, we've seen this before. When are you going to learn? You've now lost, what, 9 out of your last 14, 13 to the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. You got to do a better job. And so that's what's so frustrating for me.
And that was the one last night. That was the one that the Warriors pretty much gift-wrapped for you. And here you go. And
it didn't take a Herculean effort from Steph Curry. Like, nobody really played, like, amazingly for Golden State. That was the time to pick them off, the time to get them, and you still couldn't do it.
I'm with you, though. As discouraging as that loss was, who knows, maybe when all is said and done, maybe that'll be a game we look back on. If they just won that game, who knows? But right now, given the fact that they had no De'Aaron Fox, they nearly won, and their coach was happy with the level of physicality on defense, I think it was more encouraging than discouraging.
No, I'm 100% agree with you. You know, I wake up this morning thinking, through four games, I know who our Kings are. They're a good team. Like, you know, these first four games, sure, you want a better record than 2-2. You want to beat the Golden State Warriors, obviously, but nothing that happened last night made me think, uh-oh, we're in trouble. You know, we're going to take a step back or any, you know. In fact, I feel like, okay, De'Aaron Fox, you're going to miss a few games, but we still should win these games in Houston if De'Aaron Fox is out.
Coming up next, tell you why Domas is being compared to one of the game's all-time greats today. When the Drive Guys come right back on Sacktown Sports. Sports. You know what? James Harden said some things today that we have to catch.
James Harden.
Thank you, Kyle, for catching that. He's still James Harden, isn't he?
He's still that dude, man. He still think he's Houston James Harden. Mm-hmm. That's the problem, right?
I mentioned Domas, and he's being compared to one of the game's all-time greats today. He's being compared statistically to one of the all-time greats in Sacramento Kings history, which, of course, includes the Cincinnati Royals and the Kansas City Kings. Domas has recorded his fourth straight game now with at least 10 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists. He joins Oscar Robertson in 1960 and 1961 as the only players in franchise history with 10, 10, and 5 in the first four games of a season. That's pretty good.
That is darn good.
Oscar did a lot better than 10, 10, and 5, but but that's okay. That's he now joins the Big O as the only guys to have done that. Oscar had 35 and 15, 32 and 12, 30 and 14, and 26 and 11.
Ridiculous.
In 1961.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
And, you know, Domas is off to a great start, especially after that playoff series. You know, I've been impressed by what I've seen from him so far. The rebounding numbers are up. Still not taking a whole lot of threes.
Right.
You know, took one yesterday.
And they're giving him
one against the, and they're giving him to him. That's the thing. And that's one thing he talked to, you know, me about. I'm sure he talked to you guys on Media Day is about he has to shoot that, improve his shooting, work on that. And I think, you know, the thing about Domas, he's such an unselfish player. He took 16 shots, got to the line 12 times, but you know what? I'm okay if he shoots 21, 22 shots, especially because he's such a high field goal percentage kind of guy, you know.
He takes good shots.
Good shots. Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, I would like to see him be a little more aggressive, to be honest with you, especially without De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, it's clear, isn't it? It's just not his nature to force shots.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I will say, watching him last night, what did you think of him last night? Like, I thought He was giving the business to Looney. Remember that one move? He went, caught the ball, went up aggressive at basket, chest to chest with Looney, and Looney went sprawling to the floor. Like, I thought he was physical and aggressive against Looney last night.
Yeah, I did too, and I thought he tried to fill some of the void created by De'Aaron Fox's absence. I just thought he, like a lot of guys, I thought there was about three or four shots for him that that if you asked him, he'd say, I don't know how I missed that, you know?
Yeah, and also, staying on Domas, I thought in the second half, there were a number of foul line jumpers that he could have taken.
Yep.
And he passed up a few shots, I thought. There was one time, and I think I said it on the broadcast, he was at the top of the key, and Looney was on him, and then Looney just started backing up into the paint. And, those are the times, and Domas handed it off. I think it was Keegan or Kevin coming off the dribble handoff. But those are the times where either A, you shoot that shot, or B, you take up that space and you go at him. Don't let Kevon Looney just sit there and play free safety in defense or middle linebacker in defense. You got to put the pressure on him.
Yeah, it's a very fine line. If you know basketball, if you've ever played or watched it a long time, you know this. It's a very fine line between passing up a shot that is not a good shot and passing up a shot that is a good shot and totally disrupts the rest of your possession.
Right, right, exactly. And so I would like to see him a 15 to 20 shot attempt guy per season. I mean, per game. Like, he's that good. And so I said it before, he's going to get you to 19, 12, and 7. But, man, if he could take it up to 22, 13, and 7 or something like that.
Can we get some Oscar Robertson numbers
from him? Yeah, exactly. Let me just get one game for Oscar Robertson. That would be amazing for Domas. Give me a 30-piece
one night. And he shot, 30, not Oscar, but Domas shot 37%
from three last season.
Didn't take a lot.
Did not take a lot.
I mean, that's going to, at the very least, keep the other team honest, as they say.
Yeah, I agree. And, you talk about being exposed last season. One of the areas in which, Domantas was exposed in the Kings offense was Looney backing away and him not taking the shot. And so it's just like a point guard that can't shoot. When you shoot the ball and you start making a few, then the defense has to respect that and come out. Now Looney would have to come out, and it opens up everything else for your offense. And so, we'll see as the season goes on. Look for Domas, because right now I'm looking at some of his numbers right here. 1.5 threes attempted per game, but one in each of his last two games. I'm looking at this as a rookie. He took 2 threes per game.
As a rookie.
In his 5th year, he took 2.6. Last year, he took 1.1. So you would think in today's era of basketball and big shooting threes, that number would go up.
Take more,
but it's not happening with him right now.
What kind of impact do you think James Harden's going to have on the Clipper offense?
You know what?
He's going to tell us in just a minute. We want to get your views before we hear from the beard.
As Russell Westbrook said last night, I don't know. He was asked about it last night. Westbrook like, I don't know. I can't tell the future. It's going to be some good, some bad, some ugly. I have no idea what James Harden's going to do in this Clippers uniform.
So P.J. Tucker played last night, but Harden didn't, right?
Yeah, Harden got to get himself in shape.
And Lakers,
game shape.
Yeah, the Lakers won in overtime.
That was a great game.
Yeah, so today, this is today, right?
Yes,
this is
today.
James Harden talking about, well, it's a great line in here. We'll just let you enjoy the wisdom of James Harden.
When I'm in a leash, I'm not meant just shooting the basketball every time. I meant I think the game, and I'm a creator on the court. You know what I mean? So if I got a voice to where I can, hey, coach, I see this. You know, what you think about this? Then it's like, all right, okay. Like someone that trusts me, that believes in me, that understands me, that I'm just not I'm not a system player. I am a system. You know what I mean? So somebody that can have that dialogue with me and understand and move forward and figure out and make adjustments on the fly throughout the course of games. That's all I really care about. You know, I mean, it's not about me scoring a basketball, scoring 34 points. I've done it already. So that's what I meant by that.
I just hope Brock Purdy heard that and he says it too. I'm not a system player. I am a system.
Yeah. I am the system. That's awesome. And I love it. And
what could go wrong?
Now it's the Clippers' problem, right?
Yeah.
Like, think about that. And, I didn't get to watch the game last night. I listened to it on my drive back. The Clippers actually looked pretty good last night, and I don't know if they actually need James Harden. So this move, like, I don't know if this moves the needle in a positive way for them.
Yeah, that's why the only thing I can think of, and maybe it's wrong, the only thing I can think of is they said, our stars are hurt so much, we better have an insurance policy.
Right, right.
So if Kawhi's out, maybe then we'll have Harden. I don't know, because other than that, yeah, I'm with you. I don't see the need.
He's not a system player. He is a system, though. Think about that. Think about it. He is a system. What? What does that even mean? What does that mean, James Harden? Explain yourself.
Huh.
Oh, my God.
But if we had that quote and you didn't know who said it, and we asked you what NBA player said this, would you have been able to guess?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I would say either James Harden or Kyrie Irving. Like, yeah, those would be the two that come to mind.
last night's loss spoiled a masterful defensive scheme from Mike Brown. We'll kick that around next here. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.